Hello and welcome to another episode of the Africa Biotech Conversations podcast. I am your host, Adrienne Lusa, and today I'm joined by Loretta Tiwala. Did I say it correct?
Hi, Adrienne. Very nice to meet you and very nice to be able to be speaking on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I know we've had this appointment and I'm so glad that we are able and grateful that we are able. We are all well and we are recording this session today. So a little bit of background about Loretta. Loretta is the co-founder and managing partner of Next Sequence, a new venture firm incubated at VisiLab. Her background is as a technologist with more than 12 years of experience in cloud and artificial intelligence technologies. And she's worked for major industry players such as Samsung and Huawei Technologies. She was until recently the chief product officer at Scaleway, a European cloud service provider with more than 100,000 servers in production, where she launched more than 10 cloud and AI products within 1 year. So among many technologies, she has chosen to put her faith in the belief that the future will be shaped by the convergence of life sciences and computing technologies. Thus, she co-founded OpenSynBio, the first open computing foundation for synthetic biology. Her mission is to build the largest synthetic biology open computing community focused on the development of the open source computing technologies for synthetic biology and bringing together the largest community of researchers, startups, or industrials who collaborate, develop, and run state-of-the-art computing technologies such as cloud computing, artificial intelligence, quantum computing to fast-forward the development of the most disruptive companies to enable humanity to face up to its next challenges as a species, from genetically transmitted diseases through pandemics to aging and even climate change. And we have hinted that she right now has co-founded and is managing partner of a new venture firm called Next Sequence. And that will be the focus of our conversation today, because I'm very curious, as I've promised our audience, that we will be bringing onto the podcast people from the investor space so that we can all, as entrepreneurs and potential entrepreneurs, understand what are the requirements to get investment, which is very much required in the biotech being a high cost as well as high risk space. So thank you again, Loretta, for making yourself available to have this conversation.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for the intro. So happy to answer to any of the question. Indeed, I think what's interesting is I've been a technologist. I spent many years working on AI and cloud computing and building myself as startups. I'm being an entrepreneur myself. And it's very funny now to be an investor and to see the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very happy to be able to talk about my experience as an investor, but also give recommendation to startup founders on what is expected from them and how they can actually play the game to its fullest to be able to move forward on their idea.
Fantastic, fantastic. And moving right into it, can you tell us a little bit more about why you started or co-founded the venture firm Next Sequence?
Yeah, definitely. So as you mentioned in the intro, the beginning of the story, I would say original story, is all focused about the non-for-profit foundation that we created. 2 to 3 years ago, we created OpenSynBio, Open Computing Foundation, dedicated to bringing together synthetic biology researcher and DevOps and all kind of software engineer and computer engineer, so that we can have two communities coming together to be able to work together and make sure that we have out there the best tools, software, libraries, platform available for scientists to be able to use computing as the power source to their development, and research and development. And the original idea of why we build that nonprofit foundation is really deeply rooted into my own personal journey. As I was saying, I've been working in cloud and AI for many, many years now. And one of the triggers for me when I started this journey was basically the idea that I wanted to work on something that was impactful, and I wanted to apply AI to something that was impactful. And for me, biotech has always been that, you know, growl, that very important area where I could feel that my knowledge, my expertise could actually be very useful. And so more than 5 years ago, as a chief product officer, I was actually working with startups, and I started to realize as part of the work that we're doing during our startup programs that some of the biotech startups, more specifically, were facing a lot of challenges. One of them was basically the need for them actually to get better at computing at very different level. First, they needed to have access to infrastructure because a lot of them actually generate a lot of data. Mm-hmm. We're talking about biotech here. So biotech means a lot of experiments in general. And with each one of these experiments come a throne of data, lot of data. But what they're doing with this data is actually very scarce compared to what they could do with this data because they have not been trained to actually apply computing tools to analyzing, processing, and then getting insight out of these data. So the general approach that I've seen at that time was they have Excel file, like, you know, they have Excel file coming from the clinical trial, they have Excel file coming from pharmaceutical companies, so from CROs, from hospital. It's a bunch of Excel file out there. And it would have been fine if it was just like just a waste because basically there is more than Excel to actually analyze data. But unfortunately, most of these teams, they are a team of scientists and they are researchers, PhD. They have not been trained into computing. And so my haha moment was 5 years ago when I was working on that and I was seeing that issue of how can we help these biotech founders be better at processing their own data. So originally, it was a lot of mistake because I tried to do what I knew how to do, which was building platform. I've been building platform for forever and I wanted to build platform. And so I tried to build a one-size-fits-all platform, kind of a Lord of the Rings thing where, you know, one ring to rule them all platform. But obviously, it didn't work out because it was naive in a sense that it was naive to think that all kind of data in biotech in general are the same level. The needs for people working on oncology are not the same as the need of people working on synthetic biology, DNA editing, or even like organism design. And so for this reason and many other reasons, my idea of the one unique platform didn't work out. But during that failure phase, what I learned the most was I wanted to work not with any kind of biotech. What I learned out of this was I wanted to work with a biotech startup that could understand the power of computing. And for me, synthetic biology startups were the right fit because they were an engineering-prone, I would say, discipline to begin with. They are like engineers in the sense that they understand that when they are faced with a problem, they can observe and analyze the problem, but they can also interact with it and actually actively design. It's a design, actually, perspective where you design organism, you edit them, you are going to fashion them to make them look to the function that you want to see executed. The same way that a software engineer is going to program a function or a library and use this approach to actually build whatever tools is needed for him to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. And so I could see the kind of convergence in between synthetic biology and computing. And so out of this mistake of trying to build a platform, first I learned about the focus that I wanted to focus on, which went from general biotech to synthetic biology. And then out of that also came the idea of I thought that the problem I was trying to address was the right problem, but not the right way to address it. So, you know, there is this saying in the Silicon Valley, you know, strong belief, but loosely held. And so the problem was the same, but I needed to shift the entire way that I thought about it. So instead of trying to build a platform, I went on and thought about it at a ecosystem perspective, and I realized that this problem was not a one-person problem. First, in the way that it was impacting the ecosystem, but also in the way that it was going to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So that meant that not one person, meaning not one platform, was going to be able to solve that problem. That problem needed to be solved by the community. And that, for me, was the kind of the haha moment. And once I got that, I decided to say, okay, let's think about it. It's basically as if we were 20 years ago at the beginning of software industry, 30 years ago, and we were at this intersection where mm-hmm. we have to choose in between proprietary libraries that works great, proprietary software like Microsoft that works great, but then versus open source libraries and software. And I realized that the kind of shift that open source software brought to computing was the same kind of shift that we wanted to see in synthetic biology. We wanted to see things be more open. We mm-hmm. wanted to see things advance based on technology. And for synthetic biology particularly, we were missing a lot of things. Of course, from a technology perspective, from the synthetic biology part, there is a lot of strong advances. But me as a computer scientist, looking at it from a computer scientist problem, I could see that the underlying layer of all the computing tools that were needed were not at the stage of maturity that was needed, and vice versa. The community was not trained for it. So this is how we thought about building in the same model as the Linux Foundation and trying to bring on the same kind of revolution that the Linux Foundation actually brought to the computing ecosystem. We created a computing foundation dedicated to that, dedicated to trying to bring computing technologies, researchers in synthetic biology with the idea of trying to bring them the kind of tools and the kind of community that they need to actually push forward and go global. That was the story.
Of the community, the foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we created the community more than 2 years ago. And very quickly, within a year, we had 300 plus startups that were, you know, aligned with this idea. Mm-hmm. And so very quickly, we realized, okay, we're creating the community as a non-for-profit because we want to be able to have a level playing field where people would be able to feel free to exchange the data, exchange their software, talk about it and exchange information and teach to each other what they know about it. But we also knew that this startup, they needed that, but they needed also financing. And as a startup, financing is a very cornerstone of your ability to survive or not. And so last year, when we realized that we had more than 300 startups ranging from pre-seed stage to Series A and with a total valuation of more than $7 billion, we realized that we had actually enough, not only in terms of amount of startups, which were aligned with our vision, but it was also more importantly, a number of startups that were actually moving into the right direction, because some of these startups were moving from raising funds by multiple 10, going from raising 4 million in 2020 when we met them to raising 55 million just this year in January, when after 2 years of operation.
Impressive.
And the only common, I would say, thread in between all of these startups that were raising at a very exponential level was the fact that these startups understood the power of computational biology and the power of computing. And they were using it as a core of the product development, as a way to get insight, as a way to build better product, as a way to get information on in which direction they should actually fast forward their research. And so for us, we had the statistics, we had the analysis of more than 2 to 3 years of working in this field. And we were pretty sure that this was what we wanted to invest in. This was the community that we wanted to support. Mm-hmm. And so we went on and decided to and create Next Sequence. And ever since, we've been now working on trying to set up everything and do the best as we can to try to support the community.
Great. When you created Next Sequence, you intend to invest in some of the startups that come your way, right?
Yeah. So for us, it was a natural fit because we don't have a pipeline issue because startups are actually coming naturally from the work that we're doing to a non-for-profit. And it's a natural pipeline, an organic pipeline where people are coming to us with, rather than us actually coming to them. And so one of the most important things was for us over this year to decide in which area geographically we were going to invest, but also in which stage we were going to invest. And so from the beginning, we knew that we wanted to be global. And so all of the work of this year has been really to focus on accomplishing that. Because when we started, I'm based in Paris, in Europe. And so very quickly, the number of startups based in Europe were, I would say, surpassed by the number of startups coming from the US, because the US is a bigger market. But what was interesting was not so much that we could see that there was startup coming from the US, because that was something that we could predict. But what was the most interesting was discovering startups coming from South Africa, discovering startups coming from, you know, Rwanda or Ghana or Egypt, discovering startups coming from east of Europe, north of Europe, or even New Zealand, and everywhere, from everywhere around the world. And so it was interesting to see that, yes, each of the countries has different development stage, but the startups nonetheless were there. They were existing. There were a lot of founders. And what was interesting for us was the early stage startup, the ones getting out of accelerator programs, the one that already have an idea, built a beginning of a minimal viable product, and they are now, you know, trying to really move to the next stage. And so we decided to focus on this pre-seed stage globally. And one of the work has been for me to travel intensively in the US and South America and Europe for this year. And as we talked a weeks ago, next year will be dedicated to finishing the round and going actually to travel extensively in Africa, in Southeast Asia, Asia, in Middle East, to finally meet the people from our community. Because we built this community over the past 3 years more, but now it's about really moving forward and really being able to meet them, be able to support them, and build something that will be able to help them into the journey. Because each one of these founders are different. The needs of founders coming from South Africa are totally different from the one that we've met in Argentina. And the goal for us is really to be able to support them. So, yeah.
Great stuff. I'm glad to hear that you have come in contact with tick biology focused startups from Africa as well. As you and I have discussed offline, it is quite a niche area. And there are a few, but not as much as could be. So I'm sure that this podcast will also serve as an encouraging call for people to explore what synthetic biology can offer, because I believe synthetic biology can actually be one of those avenues that take us into a more green, sustainable world, which is more or less the goal right now from all sort of sectors. So what sort of start? Okay, you've already mentioned that you look at pre-seed stage startups and that you are focused on synthetic biology aligned startups. What about the entrepreneurs and the teams that approach you? Are there certain criteria that you lean towards more than others to vet entrepreneurs that you will take on as an investor?
Yeah, definitely. Because what we're trying to accomplish here is something that has never been done before. Because in a sense, we talked about this earlier when you and I were connected for the first time. Yeah. I acknowledge that I know what I'm bringing to the table. And so what I'm bringing to the table is basically my expertise in AI, in cloud computing, and my network in that domain and my experience. And so that means that from the beginning, I've always been clear on the fact that the way that I'm looking at it is the angle of the computer scientist that is trying to bring computing as a tool to researcher. And so the way that we thought about NextSequence as a venture firm was always on the fact that we are not investing in any synthetic biology startup. We are focusing on the one that are actually aligned with our open Symbio Computing Foundation, because mm-hmm. the angle here that we're trying to push is computing and the impact of computing in synthetic biology. Mm-hmm. Because this is our expertise, this is our value add, and this is what we're bringing to the table. And so that meant that when we thought about the firm, we knew that we wanted to create a firm that we're going to be able to invest, but we also knew that money is not a handle and it doesn't solve everything. And so that we knew that we wanted to build next to that firm an accelerator program that we're basically a 6 months to 12 months program where we're going mm-hmm. to take the entrepreneur from zero to one. And it's actually an AI accelerator program, because what we're bringing to them is actually AI, cloud, quantum computing. We're bringing them technological computing expertise. Mm. And so we're working with partners like NVIDIA or Microsoft, Tencent Cloud, Alibaba Cloud, a lot of cloud service providers. And the more we're bringing on, the more the better. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's about bringing this expertise to these founders as a way to fast forward. Mm. What we want to do is we want to make biotech as investable as SaaS. Mm. And to be able to do that, we believe that bringing computing to biotech is the way to accomplish that. Because mm-hmm. biotech has always been something that general investors don't want to invest in mm-hmm. because it's very risky. Mm-hmm. It's very capital intensive. These are the two arguments that comes again and again. True. For us as fund manager raising our own money, but also for founders, first and foremost. This mm-hmm. is the two things that they hear again and again, and that prevent them from raising funds from just anyone. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of making biotech as investable as SaaS is very straightforward, because it brings a promise that research and development in biotech can be done on a shorter life cycle. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have a shorter life cycle when it comes to research and development, there is the ability to use computing as a way to have better insight, have a way to sort through the data to be able to make better decisions on mm-hmm. what is the next cycle of research and development that the team need to focus on. Mm-hmm. And so we have seen over the years of more and more of the biotech startup now are converging towards that. And that is what now a lot of people are coining the tech bio industry, because mm-hmm. it's a new type of biotech startup. It's a type of biotech startup that understands the power of computing, is using it as a way to be better than all the other by being mm-hmm. faster. They mm-hmm. are being faster because they're able to cross-analyze all of the data that they're generating to know in which direction they need to move. And when they do, they move faster because of the data. And so new type of companies are really the essence of what is coming next, at least for us, but also for many, many other investors and very well-renowned investor, I must say. Typically, Alexey Ohanian has been investing into this new type of, you know, new founders. He's a founder of, you know, Reddit. And so he has had the ability now to move into investing and to be able to support new type of companies. And he has clearly set his eyes on this kind of companies. So Seth Bannon, for example, as new investors in tech bio as well. So there is many people from even Bill Gates to all of these established fund manager to new venture manager. Just like myself, we recognize that there is something very important and disrupting happening right now in biotech, and it's what we call tech bio.
I'm glad that you've brought that up, and I'll say that is quite a trend that you've highlighted there. That the role of technology in biotech or in the bio industry, and what computing brings to the table, either fast tracking search and product life cycles or time to market, and also improving decision making and in a way de-risking some of the investment that goes into biotech. And thank you also for highlighting, you know, the investing perspective, that there's more investors joining biotech, because sometimes people lose faith or don't want to get involved because they think there's no money. But it's quite reassuring to know that if you're doing the right things and if you're you know, partnering with technology, you can actually find support, financial support from these investors. So thank you for highlighting that. And I'm curious, as a woman and a fellow woman, I'm curious, do you find it that there are other women in the investor space, in especially in biotech, or is it lonely out there?
That's a very good question. By definition, it's very lonely out there in VC in general for women. Mm-hmm. There have been the latest studies by the European Women in VC, and there's been many, many studies now over the last couple of years on the state of women in investment, and it's very scary. So just to give you an idea, women represent now only 2% of the total percentage of investors, VCs out there. So it's only 2%. It's not even a double digit. So that gives you how far behind we are. And it's globally. It's not just in one specific country. So there's definitely more that needs to be done, especially because these 2% of women generally don't occupy power-making decision position. They can be analysts. They can be venture partners. But very, very few of them are actually either managing partners or even senior partners or not even founders of this type of venture firm. So I think there's a lot of initiative out there now. VC Lab is one of them, supporting emerging managers and giving a priority to, I would say, unconventional emerging managers such as myself as a woman, but also as a woman of color.
Yeah.
So I think it's important. And in the industry right now, there is a trend where the VC industry in general recognize the need for more diversity, whether it is coming from gender-based, whether it is your sexual orientation, your own ethnic background, but also in terms of geography, because investment now not only located into the general hubs like, you know, San Francisco, Silicon Valley in general, or New York, or Paris, London, Berlin. It's more than that. I think now we understand that investment needs to be stemming from everywhere, from South Africa, from Nigeria, from any country, because, you know, to the point that you were making earlier, yes, synthetic biology is powerful. It's a powerful tool in terms of innovation, but it's also a way towards solving societal issue. And to your point, this is what all of us who are passionate about synthetic biology see. Of course, as a technologist, I arrive through to that field through the technology because that is who I am. I'm always looking at things through the angle of the technology. But the purpose for me was to not do technology just for the sake of technology. It was the purpose of doing technology for something that brings along positive impact. And so I can say that everyone that I've met, from you to all of the people that I've met in this field, we all share one common ground, which is we all believe that it can be a tool for better, whether you are focusing on climate, whether you're focusing on health, whether you're focusing on something that can be seen as a little bit more frivolous as consumer goods. It doesn't matter. It's just we want to do it better, in a better way. So technology such as synthetic biology has a powerful drive because it can help solve societal problems, but also from the economic development perspective for countries, underdeveloped countries or emerging countries, it's a powerful tool because suddenly it's a field where for now there are countries that are in advance, but it's not a field where we have a domination. So every country can now see it as a perspective where they can grab a seat at the table and they can actually use it to actually drive more sovereignty or even build themselves as a powerhouse in one specific field or area. So there is enough. Synthetic biology as a market represents a potential of more than $4 trillion as forecasted by McKinsey as part of the bio revolution. So there is enough for all of us. And so, yeah, it's a powerful tool for innovation. It's a powerful tool for social impact, for economic development. It's a powerful field. So that's one of the reasons why I'm so in love with it, to be honest.
Great stuff. And I'm glad to know that you are out there representing and also being a role model, because as you were speaking, I was wondering how many ladies actually think of, I mean, people with a biotech or a tech background of, you know, channeling their knowledge, their experience, their networks towards, you know, venture capital or investing and fundraising. And I don't know, added to your passion, was there a particular reason? I mean, you could have stayed either just being an entrepreneur, but was there a particular reason why you decided to join the ranks of investors?
Yes.
On a personal note.
I can say it easily because, I mean, people have asked me so many now, but I was so sick and tired to not be taken seriously. That's it. I was so sick and tired to never get the funding. And I was always thinking about why. Why can I get the funding? Is it because they don't understand what I'm doing? Is it because they don't understand biotech? Is it because they don't understand what I'm trying to do in between AI and biotech? Is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I am a woman talking about tech?
Yeah.
Is it because I am a woman of color? Yeah. So there were so many question and answer question, but never the funding. And however I was trying to spin it up, it was never working. So at some point, I just got tired of waiting for it to happen. And I just focused on trying to solve what I was trying to solve. Yeah. And things led, one thing led to another. We had the community, and then the community, I needed to support that community no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so it came very naturally from originally an entrepreneur, I would say, and a response to something that I wanted to do, which was solving the problem.
Yes.
So in a way, I'm not different. I'm not doing something different because as a fund manager, you realize that there is a lot of, I would say, same pattern as a typical founder. You need to make money, you need to convince about your idea, which is not called idea anymore, which is called investment thesis, etc. So it's pretty much the same. I'm just an entrepreneur in a very different type of field that I expected begin with. But yeah, it started with the sheer desperation or just not willing to be accepting no as an answer. And for me, it was no for 3-5 years. It was always no. And I couldn't understand why. And along the way, I just focused on trying to do what I knew there was what needed to be solved. Mm-hmm. And the rest just happened to be a lot of pivot and a lot of evolution over the course of the last past 2 years. But that's a very good question, because when I think about it, I'm thinking for many years, I never thought that I would be becoming an investor because I consider that investing was not for me. Mm-hmm. And when I look back now, I realize that I would have not been self-limiting. I would have done that way earlier. So my advice, my recommendation to anyone out there, whether you're male or female, whether you're black or yellow, whatever, is first believe in yourself, look for your why, and just move on and go on with it. Because basically, from a typical investment perspective, a lot of people would say that I'm not the typical investor.
Yeah.
I have done finance, and I haven't been working in finance, and I haven't been the typical analyst in venture firm, or I haven't been typical part of an angel investor group, or none of that. But to be honest, I was an operator and I was an entrepreneur. So I have first-hand experience of what works and what doesn't work in a startup. I've been doing this for the last past 12 years. And so at the end of the day, when I look at it, I realize that also that the industry has changed. As I was saying earlier, there is more and more willingness to, I would say, welcome new type of profile, because this new type of profile, they think differently and they recognize within each one of these founders something new.
Yeah.
Because our world need more diversity. We need founders coming from everywhere, from any ethnic background, any religion. We need founders that are looking at the world in a very different way and trying to tackle these different things. So you cannot solve the problem with the same way that you created them. And so that means that you cannot have one typical profile of investor. You need more different people coming from different backgrounds that are going to look at the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at it now, I realize that the only thing that made the difference was the belief in myself, not self-limiting in myself and going after it. If this is what you want to do, just go after it. It's not going to be easy. Let's face it. And even now, It's a challenge every day. So it's not going to be easy and no one is going to hand it over to you. Mm-hmm. But if this is something you truly believe, just do it. And even at the worst of the worst, even if you're failing, you're going to learn a lot out of it. So
Just like you highlighted in your origin story, you know, with the failures come lessons that you can actually use to build the next thing, a better step forward. And on that note, Loretta, I really want to thank you for taking time to talk to us, enlighten us about the investment world, and also really bringing to our attention the trend of tech meeting bio and all the possibilities of how groundbreaking that can be. And I hope that a lot more entrepreneurs from the African continent will start exploring, or if they are exploring it already, synthetic biology, that is, they will be encouraged by your insight in what investments or investors are getting interested in, the relevance of putting, you know, technology, computing technology at the service of biology and really making things less risky, as well as improving the rate of taking products to the market. I really, really appreciate and learned so much from our conversation. Thank you so much, Loretta.
And thank you so much. And yeah, definitely looking forward to coming to South Africa and Nigeria.
Yes, yes.
Definitely in love with most of the founders I've met from there. So looking forward to be able to support the ecosystem. So thank you. Thank you so much.
And just to highlight, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I know you have roots in Africa as well.
Yes. So that's maybe one of the reasons why actually I'm so keen on wanted absolutely to reflect that kind of diversity, because this is part of my personal origin story.
Yes.
And for me, it's going to be a first time actually in Africa, so I'm actually super excited to be coming to South Africa first and then Nigeria. Yes. And I can't stop smiling just at the end.
We will be looking forward to hosting you, Loretta. And please, I don't know, do you have any contact details that you want to share with people that would like to organize meetups with you, maybe when you are here on the continent, people in the synthetic biology community?
Yeah, definitely. So you can find our website for the non-profit foundation, OpenSymbio. It's OpenSymbio indirectly, either through it. You connect with me, you can reach out to me.
Thank you so much. And thank you to our loyal audience of the Africa Biotech Conversations podcast. Thank you for staying tuned, and thank you for sharing the link to our podcast with your network so that they can also get value out of these very insightful conversations and be inspired and educated to everything relevant to the biotech industry in Africa. Keep well, keep safe until our next episode. Bye-bye.